This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The Oscars may not necessarily go to the most deserving films, but they do reveal what the movie industry thinks about itself. We called our film critic John Powers to get his thoughts on last night's ceremony and what it says about the state of Hollywood. Now, John, was it me or was this one of the more boring Oscar telecasts in recent history?
This is excruciating.
Yeah.
you know, from the opening half hour, where basically the ABC corporatized people walking in by doing the Gina Davis television show, to the very end, when nobody really said anything very exciting or controversial, and even the arrival of Ilia Kazan was boring. This is one of the dullest ones I've ever seen.
Whoopi Goldberg's jokes about people sleeping during the broadcast seem more like journalism than comedy.
They did. In fact, a lot of her jokes seemed to be something other than comedy.
Yes, unfortunately, that's true.
And I perhaps it's a reflection of my age, but I found a lot of her jokes sort of extraordinarily vulgar. It was as if, rather than saying anything witty, she just kept saying stuff that was sort of vaguely dirty.
There's no opening production number, and no Billy Crystal parodying Academy Award-nominated films.
Yes, well, I think I never like Billy Crystal more than when he's hosting the Oscars. And I probably never like Whoopi Goldberg much less than when she's hosting the Oscars. Somehow, she doesn't have the kind of mind that is really great for such an occasion, whereas Crystal seems to really be excited and exciting at doing it. And although they're both good sports, I mean, she was wearing all those ludicrous costumes, somehow that didn't match up to Crystal being in each of the five Oscar-nominated films.
Right. Well, the real big event of the night was the award to Ilia Kazan. You gave your point of view on that award in a commentary that we recently ran on the show. What were your thoughts on how the presentation actually played out?
Yes. Well, I guess the most striking thing to me was how short the whole thing turned out to be. They introduced him very briefly. Robert De Niro wearing a very strange haircut, as though they were going to make Taxi Driver 2.
Exactly, yeah. I was hoping, gee, I hope that's for a role.
I'm sure it's for a role. You know, he came out along with Martin Scorsese. And what was curious was that while Scorsese was there to support Kazan, he also seemed to be slightly hiding. I mean, he stood behind Kazan, and Kazan asked where he was. And when Scorsese came up and sort of hugged him, he looked extremely uncomfortable in doing it. He didn't seem to be a person exuberantly helping to give this award. Meanwhile, out in the audience, it was kind of fun to see the various gradations of acceptance of the award to Kazan. You know, Warren Beatty was one of the first to hop to his feet. Of course, he'd worked with Kazan when he was younger. Then the kind of liberal contingent of Hollywood that hadn't worked with Kazan, like Steven Spielberg, applauded but sat. And then you had kind of method actor Hollywood in Ed Harris and Nick Nolte, who made a point of actually not applauding. It was very strange that probably the people in the audience whose careers would in some large sense have been most affected by Kazan, Harris and Nolte, were the people who weren't applauding.
Yeah, really, like Ilia Kazan's style of directing gave way to the kind of acting that they do.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the curious thing is that the very emotionalism of the kind of acting seems to have bred in them the kind of anger and intensity that would lead you not to applaud to somebody who had given names to the House American Activities Committee.
I will say that that award was the subject of what I thought was the only funny joke during the whole broadcast, which was when Robin Williams said, "As for the Kazan controversy, I say, let Lainey sing."
Yes, I thought that was funny, and it was strange to watch Chris Rock make a joke about Robert De Niro hating a rat, which was a joke that didn't go over well.
Wait, John, stop right there and explain the joke to me. I had no idea what the punchline meant.
I didn't either. I thumbed through my mental Rolodex looking for the line where Robert De Niro had said something about hating rats, and I couldn't think of anything. So I was wondering why he made the joke, because it had the rhythm of a joke. It simply didn't have the words of a joke.
Well, let's look at some of the awards that went directly to movies. Can we please send Roberto Benigni back to Italy?
Yes, on the Concorde. It's extraordinary to me how tiresome his act has become. And I should mention to American listeners that if he seems too wonderfully joyous and irrepressible, that last year at Cannes, he finished second with Life is Beautiful and took maybe 10 or 15 minutes accepting his second place award when the winner took 30 seconds. That he, in fact, did all the things he's been doing at the Oscars last year at Cannes, which was in May. So he spent 10 months traveling around the world from country to country, doing this same thing, accepting awards, doing this mime show of irrepressibility and absolute joy.
Yes.
And there's something that strikes me as almost demagogic about it. For instance, the way he keeps saying he doesn't speak English, and then he will say something like, my body is in tumult. Now, tumult is not a word that a person who doesn't know English very well would say.
You know what I think is almost tyrannical about it? The way his antic manners of joy make it clear that we're supposed to be sharing in his joy, that somehow his award should be my great pleasure, too. And I'm not sharing in his pleasure at all, and I feel like he expects me to.
Yes, he does. And in fact, what I couldn't stand about his performance, and what I think perhaps every actor who voted for him could stand about his performance, is that in Life is Beautiful, he plays a person who is either in every shot of the movie or is the person who has just done something and at the next shot is somebody looking at him adoringly. It's one of the most self-adoring performances that I've ever seen. I mean, he directed it himself, and it really is him doing all sorts of cute stuff, and then his real-life wife and wife in the film looking at him as if he's the most wonderful person who ever lived. It's very much, to me, that film is sort of Holocaust Patch Adams. But because it's in Italian, somehow it was very well marketed. People are thinking they're seeing something higher and more glorious than that.
Well, last night the Best Director Award went to Steven Spielberg for Saving Private Ryan, but the Best Screenplay, Best Picture, and Best Actress Awards went to Shakespeare in Love. What did that split say to you?
Well, I think we could actually start with the fact that there was no actress who could have been in Saving Private Ryan.
That's a good point.
Which is one reason why Shakespeare in Love won.
Uh-huh.
Because the largest group of voters for Best Picture are actors. And essentially half that group had no one to vote for in Saving Private Ryan. You know, I think the final reason that Shakespeare in Love won, in addition to an extraordinarily aggressive marketing campaign by Miramax, was that the Academy is so filled with actors, they're by far the largest group. And that Shakespeare in Love is a film that celebrates actors and acting and was filled with juicy roles for both men and women. In fact, both of the women's acting categories had winners that came from Shakespeare in Love. So I think that's the real reason that it won. I think the secondary reason that it won is that Hollywood likes a story, and Saving Private Ryan came out in a way too early for the Oscars and was the front runner so long that people liked the shifting momentum of having something catch it at the very end, which is what happened with Shakespeare in Love. I mean, friends of mine in the film industry who talked to actors all said that the actors thought that it wasn't even going to be close, that the actors didn't know anybody who voted for Saving Private Ryan. However, when you actually let directors vote and people in the crafts, they would then think, oh, well, Steven Spielberg is a much better director than John Madden, which is why he would win. Because they would all realize how extraordinarily difficult it is to stage things like the opening landing sequence. You know, there was nothing in Shakespeare in Love that was as demanding and as technically difficult as that.
My guest is Fresh Air's film critic John Powers. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about last night's Academy Awards with Fresh Air film critic John Powers. There was this dominance of World War II themes last night between between Life is Beautiful and the documentary that got an Academy Award was about Holocaust survivors. Colin Powell made an appearance last night on stage.
Yes, I was startled to see Powell come out, and I think he was too. He had a slightly stunned look of someone who's found himself in a place he doesn't really belong. And it was strange to me that he would be giving an award or introducing the award nominations for both Saving Private Ryan and Thin Red Line. I could see how he'd be introducing it for Saving Private Ryan, which is a very pro-American, pro-soldier film. But with Thin Red Line, you had the ex-head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff introducing a film whose gist was that the war in the Pacific was almost meaningless hell, and that ordinary soldiers were sent off to their death cavalierly by officers who in some cases simply wanted to be promoted. It's a very, very weird thing to see Colin Powell introducing Thin Red Line.
Maybe he didn't see the movie.
I suspect he might not have seen the movie.
Well, let's look at Best Supporting Actress. Judi Dench got it for Shakespeare in Love. Isn't 8 minutes on camera in a film a little insufficient for an Academy Award? She was fine in the film, but she didn't really have to do very much.
Yes, well, I think this is a case where the overwhelming success of the film carried her along with it. I mean, Judi Dench was perfectly fine in Shakespeare in Love. And it was a kind of role that's a very much of a showcase role because it punctuates the action. So it makes a big impression at the time that it's happening. And I think that, you know, Academy voters have traditionally voted for those kind of memorable short bits that they don't really expect you to give a deep performance. I think in this case also Dench was helped along by the fact that she is a classy British actor. And it's one of the dreams, I think, of lots of Hollywood actors to be a classy British actor. And that they love them. So that over the years, a disproportionate number of Brits have won. Even this year, for example, in the Best Actor category, Benigni won. But all along, people thought that the contest was going to be between Nick Nolte from Affliction and Ian McKellen from Gods and Monsters. And the smart money was always going to be on Ian McKellen, because even though Nick Nolte, I think, gives a better performance than Ian McKellen was a classy British actor. And I think that's what happened here with Judi Dench, is that she's in a film that everyone liked. There was a huge push for the film by Miramax. And then she was a person who's a big star on the London stage. So everybody knows she's really a good actress.
Mm. James Coburn won an Oscar for his performance in Affliction. That was a Best Supporting Actor award. Did you think he deserved it?
Well, James Coburn was very good in the film. I mean, I think that, you know, often the supporting actor categories and supporting actress categories are stronger than the best actor in best actors categories. He's kind of good and harrowing in it. It's nice to see one of these old guys who actually spent years slogging away, you know, win an award. I mean, you know, there's a very funny story about how when he was being hired for the film, Paul Schrader, to convince him to work hard, because Coburn was an actor who didn't always work hard, more or less told Coburn that he would have to, you know, that Schrader would have to warn Coburn that Nick Nolte is very serious about his acting, and that he wouldn't be able to protect Coburn if Nolte thought Coburn was sort of strolling through the part the way he had in the past. And Coburn said, "You mean you want me to do some real acting?" And Schrader said, "Yes." And Coburn said, "I can do that."
Didn't you think the performance was a little bit over the top, a little hammy?
It actually is a little bit hammy. Yeah, it's curious because, I mean, I think that the Nolte performance isn't hammy and over the top and was the better performance of the two of them. But I think that in this year's acting awards, I kept looking at people and thinking, how did they manage to win this? And partly is, you know, you start thinking that there's the Hollywood love of ham cannot be overestimated. I mean, the Roberto Benigni performance is quite hammy. The Judi Dench thing isn't hammy, but it's the kind of thing where you don't have to have any depth. It has a lot of snap, and it's kind of an obvious performance. The Coburn performance is a good performance, but it's not a great performance. I think he was, you know, better in Charade many, many years ago. And then the Gwyneth Paltrow performance was not the best performance, but it's the kind of showy performance because you play men and women and you put on costumes and the camera's loving you every second.
Was there anyone or any movie that you were particularly rooting for that didn't win? Or did most of your picks never even make it into the Oscar nominee category?
Yes, the truth of the matter was that most of the things that I really would have wanted to win didn't get nominated. And then among the ones that did get nominated, I think they never had a chance. So I spent the evening without much of a rooting interest. I think that somehow this was struck me as being a particularly dull year for Oscar nominees. I mean, I think the big surprise of the evening might have been when Gods and Monsters won Best Adapted Screenplay, which makes it a not very exciting year. When you're talking about the Best Adapted Screenplay, is the real breakthrough exciting moment.
Of the films that were in play last night, did you have a favorite that you would have liked to see win Best Picture or Best Director?
If I were a person given the choices of those films, I probably would have voted for Thin Red Line for a lot of the categories. I think it's a flawed film. There are many things I don't like about it, but I think in photographic terms, it was probably the best shot film. In directorial terms, I think it's the most daring film. It's kind of avant-garde in its structure. I think that I also liked the way that it didn't play to the obvious emotion, whereas Saving Private Ryan really is sort of a rah-rah World War II movie that pretended that it wasn't. A Thin Red Line actually was a kind of challenging film. So I guess it would be the one I would have voted for if I'd been given those five films.
Was there a moment of the Oscar ceremonies last night that struck you as the low point?
Yes, I'm not sure I could find a low point of the Oscars. You know, there are always moments that just make you either laugh out loud or slap your forehead. I thought the tribute to Stanley Kubrick that Steven Spielberg presented, you know, was certainly well-deserved. I mean, Kubrick would deserve a tribute. But somehow, whoever wrote the lines for Spielberg had him say that of Kubrick's work that it offered hope and wonder and grace and mystery. And then every clip that you saw was bleak, misanthropic, grim, and unhappy. You know, but I couldn't imagine a filmmaker of whom one would talk about hope and wonder less. But that's the Oscars.
We should spend a minute or so talking about how everybody looked. And I thought, for the most part, people looked pretty bad last night. I think the lighting was bad. All the actresses' faces were shining much too much.
Yes, I think the people looked bad. I think that their costumes were comparatively muted, so that no one looked to be the great fashion disasters they sometimes had seemed to in the past. People, I think, were much more austere. There's a kind of satiny thing going on in the men on the men's tuxedos. I mean, there's a very distinct look this year with a kind of satin collar and the three-button look. Whereas the women, they just didn't look very beautiful. I think you're right about the lighting. I don't know what it was. Also, that kind of bat cave set that they used.
Yes.
Didn't, I think, really show people off to good advantage. And then, of course, there are the musical numbers and the dance numbers, which I'm constantly startled by. I think Celine Dion must be mad. I mean, the absolute and irresistible conviction with which she can bring her kind of melodramatic singing style to the theme from Song from Camelot or whatever it was is simply overwhelming. And it was very weird to watch another one of those sort of sub-fame choreography things by Debbie Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was listening to them, you know, when you're watching somebody do what looks like a flamenco dancing to the theme from Life is Beautiful, you wonder...
As played by Bill Conti.
You wonder, what is going on?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's just so peculiar. And year after year, you see the same kind of thing. Although it should be said for the dancers that, you know, probably as a group, the most talented people who were on the stage at any level last night probably were those people.
People are always hoping for a really dramatic thank you speech somewhere during the Academy Award broadcast. And, you know, the only person who really delivered on that front was Gwyneth Paltrow, who really seemed to almost be kind of breaking down with emotion as she was making her acceptance remarks.
Yes. Well, I was startled at how exuberantly sobby and emotional Gwyneth Paltrow was. Not only was she sobbing and then sort of laughing, but she went on so long thanking people and naming people and then breaking into tears that there was a reaction shot of her mother, Blythe Danner, more or less suggesting, Gwyneth, get off. I mean, even her own mother, when she was thanked, sort of thought, you've gone on too long. Please stop. Stop crying. Don't be so emotional. Leave the stage.
Good. Yeah, I kind of read that the same way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very strange. As you know, if you compare it, actually, it's funny. If you compare it to when Mira Sorvino won and Paul Sorvino was in the audience blubbering, here you had Gwyneth Paltrow blubbering, except she still managed to find the energy to name every person who'd ever worked with her in her entire life.
Well, John, I want to thank you for talking with us today.
sure thing.
And for sticking it through to the end of the broadcast.
Well, it's my job. What I don't understand is why people whose job it isn't would necessarily watch all the way through. You know, at least I'm paid to do it.
Well, John, good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you.
John Powers is Fresh Air's film critic and film critic for Vogue.